Hearing that my Lord was crucified, knowing that it was for me he died on Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burden sold by liberty at Calvary. By God's word at last my sin I learned. Then I trembled at the law I spurned, till my guilty soul imploring turned to Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burden sold by liberty at Calvary. Now I've given to Jesus everything. Now I gladly own him as my King. Now my rapture soul can only sing of Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burden sold by liberty at Calvary. Oh, the love that true salvation's blood. Oh, the grace that brought it down to man. Oh, the mighty God that God did stand at Calvary. Oh, mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burden sold by liberty at Calvary. Mercy there was great and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burden sold by liberty at Calvary.
Amen. Maybe just hand over to the pastor.
Praise the Lord. The Lord bless each one tonight and give us all a warm welcome into the service in the name of the Lord. Matthew's moving house, so we couldn't get, but he came earlier, him and Simon Peter, and put these chairs out. So we really appreciate that they could come and do it. Praise God. But where they're living, the fella showed up, gave them 8 weeks to get out. I think you're allowed more than 8 weeks, but give them 8 weeks, so they're on the move. Poor Sister Carol's going to come home, and she's no house. But praise God, the Lord will provide us another house. God bless you. I want to turn my Bibles this evening for two readings. I want to read Hebrews 13 verse 8 and then Malachi 3 and 6, and I'm still in the book of Acts, and some things I want to say about the book of Acts, and it's really like an introductory till more things. There's so many things in the book of Acts, but just trust the Lord will help us tonight. Let's stand while we read these two verses, Hebrews 13 and 8 and Malachi 3 verse 6. These, everybody probably knows these scriptures off by heart, but it'll do us good to read them again. Amen. Hebrews 13 verse 8. Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. Malachi 3 verse 6 is but the last book in the Old Testament. For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Praise God. Let's bow our heads tonight. And if you have a need tonight, Lift your hand up before the Lord. Samuel's wife's not too well. She's got the flu, and some of the children had it last week. So keep them in prayer. Pray for my son James as well. He's well enough, but he needs prayer. He needs God to move on him. All my children do, but pray for James if you can. Praise God. Heavenly Father, I just thank you and praise you tonight for your mercy, for your grace, for your love and your truth you've showed toward each and every one of us. We thank you for the precious blood of the Lamb of God. Lord, we wash afresh in the blood of the Lamb of God by faith tonight. We pray, forgive us every wrong thought, every wrong word, every wrong deed. Sanctify us and cleanse us with the washing of your word and with your precious blood. And Lord, we invite the Holy Spirit into this room tonight. And we say that every spirit will be subject to the Holy Spirit. And I do take right now the Holy Ghost to help me. And I thank you for the Holy Spirit and I thank you for the help. In Jesus' precious name. Pray I'll bless your word to their hearts and speak to us tonight and close us in for a time with your own self. Ask you for the hands raised. You know every single need, Lord Jesus, and we ask that you'll meet those needs in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for asking. Praying for all of our children represented in this house. Save every single one of them. Cover them with your blood. Speak to them and move on them and save them. In Jesus' precious name. Lord, we ask for those that are sick and laid aside with flus and colds. We pray you'll touch them. We pray you'll minister unto them for Samuel and the family. For other families, that you'll touch them, that you'll heal them. Lord, for George and Winifred, bless and touch them and minister to them. For wee brother Laurie, touch and minister to them. For others tonight, Lord, that maybe it's not been mentioned, but on hearts, touch and minister to them, we pray, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, have your way in our meetings, we pray. And as Brother Andrew prepares to come from England, we pray you'll prepare him and prepare us. And that your name will be uplifted and magnified. Now, Lord, tonight, bless us for a time with yourself. And close us in, we pray, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. First of all, I wrote down the challenge. The challenge. And there's a challenge because when we read the book of Acts, there is a challenge with the book of Acts. And sadly, many of modern day churches do not do or believe the same as the book of Acts. And they don't even believe it. They say it's not for the day and so forth and so on. But I believe it is. Now I want to read you a quotation here the night before I'm going to look at some scriptures. And if the first church was a product of that vine, the true vine, Jesus Christ, and wrote a book of Acts out of it, the second branch will have to be the same thing, or it's been grafted into something that has a different life. I am the vine, here the branches of the branch. Branch brought forth joy, love, loyalty, gifts of the Holy Spirit, casting out evil spirits, water baptism by immersion. And if we today find that not all into the church is not getting its life from the vine. For the church today, we Baptists, Methodists, Pentecostals, whatever more, if our church, they cannot write a book of Acts behind this church, then it's wrong vine. There's something wrong with it. If Jesus was on earth today and I'd walk up and say to him, Lord Jesus, I go to a church that doesn't believe in divine healing, he would say it wasn't from the beginning. If I went up to the Lord Jesus and said, my church does not believe in speaking with other tongues, he'd say it wasn't so from the beginning. If I'd go to the Lord Jesus and say it, I've been sprinkled, my church says it's all right. My pastor said, if I sprinkle you with water, it's just as good as immersion in water. Jesus would answer, it wasn't so from the beginning. If I walked to Jesus and said, I shook hands and took the right hand of fellowship from the church, and I believe that I've been born again, Jesus would say, it wasn't so from the beginning. Is that true? We've got to go back to the beginning. Where did the church leave Jesus? At Pentecost. The so-called church left Jesus at Pentecost. That's where the churches will have to go back till they find him, back to Pentecost. Not from a message, it was not so from the beginning. And I believe that's the truth tonight. And there's many places, and they don't believe it, and they don't want it. But surely we want the Bible, we want the Word of God, We want the Pentecostal experience. And I believe if we're sincere, God can give it to us. And if we say God can't, something's wrong. Because we've read the first two scriptures tonight. He is the same. He's not changed. He's the same. God, the Acts is God's design, God's standard, God's principle for his church today. The book of Acts. It was then and it is now. What God started with, God doesn't have to change because it doesn't need changing. Amen. And God does not change it as man changes. Man might come along and say, well, we need a wee change here and a wee change there. But God does not need a change. He's Hebrews 13, 8. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. In Malachi, we've read it. He's the same. The book of Acts is the New Testament in action. So when you read the book of Acts, you're reading the New Testament in action. That's what you're reading. May we return to the Bible, to God, to the Lord Jesus Christ. And may we return to the utter dependence on the Holy Spirit. Because we cannot do it of our own selves. And when we try to do it, it'll be like Paul Malcolm preached here one Thursday night, a tremendous message. All we'll do is resurrect the old man. And the old man's no good. We have a new man. We don't want the old man resurrected. The old man would do things what we don't want done. We're working with a new man. It's not the truth. We need the Holy Spirit again. Acts 1 verse 8. Here's what it says about the Holy Spirit. But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Tonight, for a moment or two, I just want to look briefly at the order of the witness. Now, what I mean by that is, when I say order, just where they went. Where's the first place they went, second place, third place? There's four distinctive places they went. And I want to just briefly look at that tonight. And this is just to lay out some thoughts before we get right into the book of Acts, to the gifts and different things that's in the book of Acts. The first one where they went was Jerusalem. Now you say, Brother Tom, why in the world would we be interested, or would you want to tell us in the four places they went? Because if we're to be like the book of Acts, there's a pattern here. That any church starts at home first. And you evangelize at home. Then after you evangelize at home, you go further afield. And it's the same with support. You support at home first. Then if you have some left over, then it goes further afield. That's how the apostles did it. Now, if we're going to say we want to be like the book of Acts, we must follow that blueprint. Amen. It's not the truth. So the first place of Jerusalem. Let's go to Acts 1, verse 4 and verse 8, just to show you where they went. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. So they were to wait in Jerusalem until they got the power. Now here, right at the very start tonight, I want to make this absolutely plain and clear. I know we know these things, but I'm telling you it again. And there's people listening, and I'm telling them again as well. They did not go nowhere else. None of these preachers, none of these apostles went anywhere until they got the promise of the Holy Ghost. They didn't go. And they weren't to go. They needed the Holy Spirit to go. They were going to need the power of the Holy Spirit to do what God wanted them to do. What's that? Well, the book of Acts is all about what Jesus began must be continued. We can never continue what Jesus began outside of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We need the baptism of the Holy Spirit to continue what Jesus began. And Jesus says that himself, because he told them, tarry till you get the Holy Spirit. And when you get the Holy Spirit, you will receive power. A boldness will come on you. A power will come on you. You'll do things you never thought you would do. You go places you never thought you would go. You lay hands on people and pray for them and God will heal them. And you'll be a shock to your own self. How it'll happen once you get the Holy Ghost. You say, Brother Thomas, all Christians get the Holy Spirit. Every true Christian, the Holy Spirit comes in every man and woman that's saved. Absolutely. But that's not the baptism. The baptism is a separate experience after you're saved. There is a baptism of the Holy Spirit, an endowment with the power of the Holy Spirit. And these disciples were to wait for it, to tarry for it. And look at verse 8 says, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. So this is starting in Jerusalem, but this thing's going to spread. Amen. Now there's a lot of groups today spread because of splits. It starts with a twist, then the split. And that's how they spread. That's not the book of Acts. The book of Acts didn't have a twist and a split to start it. The book of Acts, they were filled with the Holy Spirit. They brought all the apostles' feet. They were in one accord, in one place. And how they spread was the power of God on them. And when they preached, people were saved. People were added to the church. When I say added to the church, I'm not talking about some denominational name. It's not Omega Minister or Baptist or Methodist. None of them names is the church. The church is the one true church. And you're born into it. You can't join it. You have to be born into it. But it's called the mystical body of Jesus Christ. You are born into it. And somebody says, do you belong to church? You can say, I do. The one true church. When did you join it? I never did. I was born into it. By the Spirit of God. Look at Luke 24, verse 47 as well. And we know, and I showed you last week, Luke's a writer of the book of Acts. Luke first wrote Luke's gospel. Then he's wrote the book of Acts. Luke 24, verse 47. And the repentance and the remission of sin shall be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. So they have to start at Jerusalem. Amen. You know, I had a young man years ago, and most of you will know this, but I'll tell you anyhow, and maybe some of the people's never heard it. But we used to go on the streets, and Brother Ewell and me, and you know, there's a few fellas one night at the coach was going to tick to Brother Ewell. And right down at the steps, and I'll tell you the truth, there was Brig Glenn Ross recognized me, and he stopped him. And they let us preach away, and we preached away, and Glenn Ross is a backslider. He came to one of our meetings, you know. But anyhow, we used to go out in the streets and everything, and we're a young man, and this young man was wanting to preach. And he said, Brother Tom, I'll get up in the pulpit and I'll preach to the people. I says, no, you're not. I'll say, get started here tonight. Start tonight. If you're keen to get preaching and you believe God's called you to preach, get up here now. Give a bit of a shout here now out in the open air. And I tell you, he wouldn't do it. He wouldn't do it. But that's where I started. I started in the open air, giving tracts out, preaching just wherever. And I tell you, if God really called you to preach, where do you think these disciples preached? Do you think that Paul the Apostle and these men waited till somebody opened the pulpit for them? No, they didn't. These men started right where they were at. And the signs and wonders and miracles followed them, and then they preached them about Jesus. Peter and John were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer. Even before they got to service, the miracles happened, and they were able to share the gospel. Amen. I'm telling you, T.L. Osborne had a wonderful saying. If you want to look him up, brother, T.L. Osborne, wonderful man of God. T.L. Osborne says, we need to go where the sinners are. We need to go where the sinners are. And we need to go out sometimes and bring them in and go for the sinners are. And they were told here, start at Jerusalem. Then here's the second place, Judea. So after Jerusalem is Judea, spreading that. Acts 2, let's look at verse 9, verse 14. Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and the dwellers in Mesopotamia and Judea, and Cappadocia and Pontus and Asia, verse 14. But Peter, standing up with 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, Ye men of Judea and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words, and hear he preaches in the gospel. So they've now moved from Jerusalem, they've got the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and they're moving on now to into the next place, Judea, the part of the journey. Look at chapter 8, verse 1 and verse 40 of the book of Acts. And we're going to be looking at a few scriptures in the book of Acts. And Saul was consenting unto his death, Stephen. And at that time there was a great persecution against the church which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. Verse 40. But Philip was found at Sotus, and passing through he preached in all cities till he came to Caesarea. Now here's the real evangelist, and the real evangelist will not be in the one spot. Can you see this? The evangelist travels. He goes about, he travels a lot. But I tell you, he went about preaching Jesus. Amen? And you know that Philip went down to the city of Samaria and he preached Christ unto them. And the demons cried out. He cried out. And here we're living in a generation that they tell us there's no devils. There's more devils now than there ever was. You know what? When Brother Branham said, when the seals come off the book, when the seals come off the book, and the mysteries, the hidden mysteries were revealed at the end time, he said, there's more devils loose than this age than any other age. More demons and devils. But we have so many medical names today. And I'm not against the medical. The Lord bless all the medical. But you can agree with what I'm saying. There's a thing called Tourette's. There's another thing called epilepsy. Them's devils. Now you know that in the Bible, that the disciples, the fellow in the Bible had epilepsy, and the disciples couldn't cure him. And they said, why could he not, Lord? And he said, this kind cometh out not but by fasting and praying. And they brought him to the Lord Jesus, and he cured him. You know, I don't know the actual title of the sermon where it's from, but you can look it up and you can find it. There's a man and a woman, and the woman told Brother Branham that, I think it was their son, or it was a family relative anyhow, but they had epilepsy, right? And he gave them instructions how to cure it. Now this is strange, but it happened. He told him, rip the shirt clean of his back the next time it happens and burn it. And the man wouldn't do it, but the woman did. The woman tore the shirt clean of his back, put it into the fire, and he never had epilepsy ever again. Because a prophet of God of the word of the Lord. That's the truth. Now you can look that up. So you see, God in the 20th century has moved. And the vine did put forth again. So don't let anybody ever tell you it's never put forth from Pentecost. It has. Sousa Street. Right on down to the 20th century, God has moved. But God can still move tonight. God can still move again. Amen. Now let's go to Acts 9, verse 31 to 43. Now this is a few verses, but I'm not apologizing to read it, because I want to just set a bit of a background for us. Then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and were edified and walking in the fear of the Lord and in comfort of the Holy Ghost, were multiplied. And it came to pass, as Peter passed throughout all quarters, he came down also the saints which dwelt at Lydia. And there he found a certain man named Emmaus, which had kept his bed 8 years and was sick of the palsy. So he was crippled. And Peter said unto Emmaus, Jesus Christ maketh thee whole, arise, make thy bed. And he arose immediately. Amen. Verse 35. And all that dwelt at Lydia and Saron saw him and turned to the Lord. Now there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and alms deeds which she did. Verse 37. And it came to pass in those days that she was sick and died, whom when they had washed, they laid her in an upper chamber. And forasmuch as Lydia was nigh to Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent unto him two men desiring him that he would not delay to come to them. Then Peter rose and went with them, and when he was come, they brought him into the upper chamber, and all the widows stood by him weeping, and showing the coats and garments which Dorcas made while she was with them. But Peter put them all forth and kneeled down and prayed, turning him to the body, and said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. I'll tell you, this is something. And she gave her hand and lifted her up, and when he had called the saints and widows, presented her alive. And it was known throughout all Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. And it came to pass that he tarried many days in Joppa with one Simon O'Connor. Now, why are you reading this tonight? Because I'm telling you, many churches today are against miracles. But the Bible's full of miracles. And this is an outstanding miracle. This is a very outstanding miracle. This woman died and was raised from the dead by Peter. Then people got saved after this. So this miracle definitely glorified the Lord, for it brought people to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now you know, when I've told you this before, the man that started the Edom movement was George Jeffreys. George Jeffreys was a man of God. He was a modern day apostle. He came here many years ago, and he started a work, and he was ridiculed by many denominations at the time, because they said he was into healing and into speaking in tongues. They mocked him. But when he did his meetings, there was more saved in his meetings than all theirs put together. And many miracles happened. And Stephen Jeffreys, his brother, was mightily used to the Lord in praying for the sick. And he had a son also that was mightily used to God. This is what the book of Acts was like. Perry Green went to one of William Branham's meetings, and there he sat in the front row so that he would not miss a thing. And they brought a young woman that had no eyes, and she was prayed for, and William Branham stopped in the middle and he said, I forgot, what color eyes do you want? She said, blue. And God formed blue eyes in her right there and then, and Perry Green saw it. That's the things that happen. Now I'm telling you tonight, brothers and sisters, if we associate with that which doesn't believe, then we associate with that that believes. It's running against the grain. How can two walk together except they're agreed? If people's going to preach that it's not for the day and it can't be done and it won't be done, they even say it's after the devil. Well, I'll tell you what, the devil's took a new job on if he raises the dead. Because my Bible says he's a murderer, a stealer, a robber. When Brother Andrew Beecham gave his testimony and he saw the devil, he said he was pure hate, full of hatred. It just exuded from him, hatred. But Jesus is absolute love. And the Bible says God is love. Hallelujah. I am telling you tonight, the power of God is real. You could go on and read chapters 11 and 12 and Acts 1 verse 7. But the third place is Samaria. And you could read chapters 8 and 10 all about Samaria. But we'll go forward. We'll go forward. So Samaria, they went to Samaria as well. I won't take time to read it. And the fourth place is the uttermost parts of the earth. So these is the places that they went and spread. I'll tell you, in Peter's own ministry. Now, I told you Paul was a spiritual giant. Peter was as well. You know, brothers, Brother John quoted this when he prayed on Sunday, and it is absolutely the truth. The very shadow of Peter passing over people, they were healed. I want you to get that. The very shadow of them. You say it was Peter. God in the 20th century in Durban, South Africa, when William Branham visited and his shadow passed, people were healed And he never even prayed for them. Now, I know you'll not hear that nowhere else, but you hear it here, and it's absolutely the truth. You get your hands in the book. I have them if anybody wants one. A prophet visits South Africa. And there's so many on discredit in the day, but not one of them that's discrediting has ever seen the things that man saw. That was like Peter and Paul. That's the ministry it was. And you know God had them men in England as well, them Jeffrey brothers. God had men all over the world, special men. Wigglesworth, another one. And then a man I told you about here, and hardly anybody knows anything about him, is James McCone. And James McCone went to Africa and he started hundreds of churches. Hundreds. And they're still going. They're called the Pentecostal Church. Hundreds of them. And I tell you, he was a very humble man. And he was inspired as a young man by George Jeffreys and them men. That's a fact I had on him. I tell you, brothers, God is real. We need a fresh Pentecost outpouring. That's just the fact of it. That's just what it is. We need it. We need to get desperate for it. We need to pray for it. We need to believe for it. Look at the uttermost parts there, chapter 11 of the book of Acts. And praise God. Let me read you this. These are wonderful scriptures. Verse 19 of Acts 11 down. Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phinehas and Cyprus, Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and great number believed and turned unto the Lord. Then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church which was at Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas, and Barnabas being interpreted, do you know what it means? Son of consolation. Isn't that some name? I believe that's some name, isn't it? Son of consolation. How do you know that so well? Because I heard a man preach a whole sermon on it many years ago. He preached a whole sermon on Barnabas. I never forgot it. Son of consolation. Praise God. Who when he came and had seen the, verse 23, when he came and seen the grace, I was glad and exhorted them all that with one purpose they would cleave unto the Lord, for he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people were added unto the Lord. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul, and when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch, and it came to pass that the whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people, and the disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. So when somebody says, what are you? And you say, a Christian, and somebody says, where did you get that from? You can turn them over here to the book of Acts and show them that you're taking the name for what they were first called, Christians, because Christ sent you. It's not a good name. Now, I know there's a whole lot claimed to be Christians, but they don't have many of the book of Acts with them. But then there is the real Christians. Now, how many wants to be real Christians like these Christians? You could read on in chapters 13 right through to chapter 28 of their journey. The first general order of the commission of Jesus, and also the order of fulfillment, given generally the outline of the whole book of Acts. Now I'm almost finished. Just a couple more thoughts, and then we're going to come and pray. And this is just really outlines for later. This is about Peter and Paul now. Though it was called the Acts of the Apostles, it particularly centers around the apostles called Peter and Paul. Now, when you read the book of Acts, these are the two main men that God is using, that their names come up. These are the two men. Now, there's other men. We've mentioned them. I counted one time, somebody said to me there was no prophets after the 12 apostles and so forth. A man called me in one time, and he told me, and I said, well, I have bad news for you. I can count at least 13. And I said, I want to ask you a serious question. You told me, and your denomination preaches, that after the last 12, there was no more apostles or prophets. He said, that's right. I says, well, what do you do with Paul then? Because he wasn't one of the 12. And the Bible says he's one born out of season. And he says he is an apostle. Not called by man, called by God. So, a lot of places can have ideas, but doesn't match the Bible. Peter's ministry, you can read Peter's ministry in chapter 1, right through to chapter 12 of the book of Acts. And you'll be reading about Peter, the apostle to the Jews, the apostle of circumcision. So Peter's the apostle to the Jews, Peter's the apostle of circumcision. Now let me read you Galatians chapter 2, and I'm almost finished. Chapter 2, verse 7 and verse 8. Praise God of Galatians chapter 2. But counterwise, when they saw the gospel of circumcision was committed unto me as the gospel of circumcision, when they saw the gospel of uncircumcision, that's Paul, was committed unto Paul, unto me, that Paul, and as the gospel of circumcision was unto Peter. For he that wrought effectual in Peter to the apostleship of circumcision, the same was mighty in me toward the Gentiles. So Peter's to the Jews and Paul's to the Gentiles. Now, when you can understand that, bear with me here for a minute. You have to know them Jews as religious boys. Right? And Peter's apostle, them Jews, and they believe in circumcision and all them things. Now you imagine for a moment as we come to close, how then did Peter feel when the Lord said to him, take and eat when he's on the rooftop? And Peter said, I've never taken anything common or unclean. Because when you understand Peter's background, Peter's coming from the Jewish belief. And you know the Jews, there's things a Jew will not eat. But I want to tell you tonight, brothers and sisters, we're living in the day of grace. You can pray over it and eat it. Amen. Now some people won't eat pig, but he can pray over a pig and eat it. But a Jew won't eat a pig. The Jew will not eat none. Split who? And Wigglesworth, there must have been a bit of the Jew in Wigglesworth, because he was at a thing one night and there's a big pig on a spit burning over the fire. And they asked him to do grace, and he says, Lord, if you can bless what you curse, go ahead. That's what he prayed. Now God knew Wigglesworth's heart, didn't he? They're still here. Maybe Wigglesworth didn't. But some people won't eat them things because of the Jewish background. But what I'm saying to you is, you imagine if you have a belief, right? Say you have a belief system that you've been brought up in a certain belief system and you won't change. Then God does something and tells you to do it. Amen. And you'll be saying to yourself, well, I've never done that. That's what happened to Peter. But God was showing Peter, anything I've claimed is not common or unclean. That was about people. It was about people. But he was using the example of the foods. God was saying, if I cleanse a Gentile, even though he's not a Jew, he's clean. That's what God was telling them. Because he was apostle to the Jews. And Paul was apostle to the Gentiles. Paul's ministry from Acts 13 to Acts 28, you can read all through it, the apostle to the Gentiles. Let me read you Galatians 2, verse 9. And when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me Barnabas the right hand of fellowship that we should go unto the heathen and they unto the circumcision. So the one group went to the circumcision, which was mainly Jews. Another group went to the heathen. That's the Gentiles. Aren't you glad God sent us the gospel? And you know God blinded them Jews. Paul talks about it in the book of Romans. They were blinded for a reason. Now you know we're the wild branch grafted in. We're actually the wild branch grafted in. They're the original branch. And you think of God's mercy. God blinded them Jews so that we could be saved. But one day, darkness is coming over the Gentiles in the sense their time's coming to a finish. And God's going to turn back to them Jews. Now you know the catching up's going to take place. We're going to go home. And God's going to turn back to Israel. Moses and Elijah's going to go down and seal them. They're going to be sealed. Amen. Now that's another thing. A lot of denominations say they will receive a different gospel than us, but a prophet of God said they will receive the same Pentecostal message we got. That's what he said. You can check it out yourself. That's his own words. So I want to encourage you tonight for the Holy Spirit. I want more of the Holy Spirit. I know God baptized me many years ago. I know there's times God's anointed me and did things, but I want more. I want more. I want us to be hungry for God. And we need to pray. We need to pray as well for our own place. Amen? So that we can have somewhere that's a sanctuary. A sanctuary that's not disturbed. Let's come and bow our heads tonight. And the Lord bless you this evening. Praise God. You pray for me as I look at these things and try and just bring something out to encourage everything. And pray for services this weekend. Praise God. Heavenly Father, we just thank you tonight for your mercy, for your grace, for your love and your truth you show toward each and every one of us. Lord, we give you all the praise and all the glory. Lord, we need another Pentecostal experience, an outpouring of the Holy Ghost coming upon every one of us. The power of God coming over us. Lord, that you lift us, our faith, into a higher dimension, as it were. Help us, forgive us our unbelief. Lord, when we read this book of Acts, we see your hand mighty in action. The Holy Ghost mightily working. Even this woman raised from the dead. When Peter went in and he put them all out and he prayed. Oh, what an experience, Lord Jesus. Lord, you can raise the dead. You can heal sickness, diseases. You can do anything. Lord, your prophet at the end time said that a time would come when limbs would be spoken on, created, before the coming of the Lord. A special visitation to your true believers. Lord, John 14:12 says, the works that I do shall ye do also, and greater works than ye shall ye do, because I go unto the Father. Lord, we know when you went unto the Father that you sent the Holy Spirit to continue the work. We need that Holy Spirit anointing coming on our lives, on our bodies, through us, filling us, coming over us, like the former and the latter rain. Grant it, Lord, I pray, in the name of the Lord Jesus. For those listening in, bless them. Meet the needs of people, Lord Jesus. Move us specially in all of our children, our sons, our daughters, aunts and uncles, father and mothers-in-laws. Move on them, we pray. Speak to them, Lord. Change them. Move on their hearts. Bring them to the saving knowledge of the truth. Cover us in this room tonight with your precious blood. Lord, you know what we need of before we even ask you. We need a sanctuary, Lord, where we can come and be sanctified and have fellowship. Lord, you know these things even before we pray. We ask you that you'll meet the need. Lord, that you'll hear our prayer, that you'll meet the need. Lord, that you'll come forth and provide for us. Help us. I pray especially for the brothers that go on the streets, Alan and Ewell. Father, I am asking in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, put a special blessing on them. Special protection with the angel of the Lord over them. Lord, wherever they go, bless them. And may your word reach the hearts of men and women. And may the word fall, the seed, on good ground. In Jesus' precious name. Lord, add to this work such as should be saved. Bring them in, we pray, Lord Jesus. You brought them to into Noah's ark. You done it, Lord Jesus. Noah was faithful in his part. But you had to move them. You had to bring them. He couldn't do it. You done that bit. But he was faithful in the message for 120 years. Lord, help us tonight. Bless your people. Strengthen them. For those that prayed in secret, Lord, and you know what they're praying about and asked to pray, you'll answer their prayers. In Jesus' precious name, meet every need. Press down around the top. pray for Carl and David and Simon Peter and Sandra and Matthew tonight, and this whole situation with the house, Lord. We just pray and provide for them. Meet their needs at this time. Get them the right place, we pray, in Jesus' precious name. Have your way as we acknowledge you in all our ways, and we know you'll direct our paths in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. Just let's continue to pray and seek the Lord this evening.